Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Live Your Full Potential podcast. Today, we have Mr. Gordon Burcham in the house. He is the owner and founder, I guess, also of G-Force Martial Arts Academy. He teaches other martial arts schools how to be successful and how to inspire children to get into martial arts. He's a coach, a speaker, and an author. And he's become a friend of mine slowly over the last few years, even though we've hardly spent any time together. And that is because I think of him as a brother from another mother. You have beautiful energy, my friend. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, JP. It's an honor to be here. And thanks for asking me to be on the podcast. I'm super excited. Always, always phenomenal to hear your voice. And I want to say thanks for speaking at my event last year. You absolutely blew up the stage. And you are on Zoom. Like, you absolutely had everyone in the palm. It had my favorite speech by Marlon. It was the best event that we've run. So thank you so much for being absolutely amazing. So, yeah, I'm happy to be here, brother.
Thank you, bro. I really appreciate it. So I said to Gordon before this, I said, look, there's no script here. There's no, like, agenda. I've had a deep conversation with Gordon at one of his academies. And it was just like, wow, man, we can just go really, really deep. And martial arts for me has been at the center of my life without even knowing it until recently, since the age of 7. I thought I started martial arts doing Muay Thai in my 20s. But just the other day, Gordon, I realized, oh my God, my first ever sport was judo. My next sport was karate. I was like, I've been doing martial arts since I was 7. And maybe that gap in my life where I wasn't doing it actually was I needed to go back to martial arts anyway. So before we get into, like, the benefits of martial arts, and I really want people to understand if they choose to listen to this, I want them to understand how good martial arts can be for you in your life, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. But before we do that, you've got an awesome story. And I'd love to just start there by asking a few questions. How did you get into martial arts?
Yeah, it's a great question. Funnily enough, as you were saying that, I did a martial arts class. It was Shotokan Karate. And I did this martial arts class at a school when I was 7.
As in a school?
Just in a school. It was the primary school. And I remember doing this martial art. I didn't know. I was into Bruce Lee. I had the Bruce Lee skateboard. You know, had it all right. But I'd started this martial arts, this karate, and I did it for probably 12 months, but I was not into it at all. I was more of an after school club, 50p, I think it was, something like that. Anyway, so I did this martial arts and I went off. I wasn't really into it that much, but I was into Bruce Lee. But through my primary school, it was interesting, through primary school, I really struggled to connect a lot. I'm very, very... very quirky, very different. And I only had 2 friends, both were girls, and both of them used to beat me up, which is interesting. And then I went to secondary school, and I was always this kid that used to really be on the outside. I felt like I was different, and I felt there was something wrong with me. I was a bit quirky, and I really struggled at secondary school, and I used to get really, like, physically and mentally, emotionally bullied. It was a horrible experience for such a long, all through my secondary school. I didn't fit in. I remember riding home and in absolute fear, trying to go the back way and get home, and I'd run into the house, and I'd find a video, and I'd look for the longest amount of video there was, normally 2 hours if I could find one, but I'd put it in the VHS recorder, and I'd sit there trembling, and I'd be trembling so much because I'd been watching the video, but I wasn't watching the video. All I was thinking is, please, Mom, don't ask me to go outside. Please, Mom, don't ask me to go outside. And the reason was I was scared, because I'd go out there and meet the bully, meet the person who was just beating the shit out of me. But the problem was, the challenge was, my mom's a really strong woman, and I was a very placid, very emotional creature. I was scared. I was in fear. Like, I'd go out, and then if I get beat up, I'd go back in. My mom would go, get back outside, you know? So I was in this absolute conflict in my life, and I hated it. And I just hated this conflict, and I was a real victim. And it was really emotional for me. And it was a time in my life, it was really tough. Anyway, I was 16 years of age, And I remember my hippie friend, I think he'd been smoking weed or whatever, right? He comes to the door, knocks on, he's nearly 17. I was like, imagine his big bushy beard, big long hair. He's like, hey, man, you want to come to kickboxing? I'm like, are you insane? Like, what are you? Like, number one, I'm scared all the time. Like, last thing I want to do is get punched. Anyway, he took me to this, he says, come along. And I have no idea to this day. And I always think martial arts found me, really. JP, and I went to this class down at Woodlow School. I remember it. I did this kickboxing class, and it's like, it's all right. And I just carried on going because my friends were going, and then I kind of get into it. And I kept on doing the classes and started driving. But I remember that we started to do sparring. And I remember so many times, JP, I would go for my mat. It's about 5 minutes drive away. And I'd go from my house, take me 45 minutes sometimes to get there in the car. Because I'd go there, drive back, go there. Because I'd say to myself, you can do it. No, I can't. You can do it. No, I can't. I was in so much fear of going in. Sometimes I'd be crying. This is like 17 days. Crying in the car. So I wipe my eyes, go in, have a, because I hate getting hit. Like, I hated it so much, you wouldn't believe. And I'd go in there, very often get hit, even if I was just tapped, I was an emotional wreck. Mm-hmm. And I really just I had no confidence at all, zero confidence in myself. And that's like how I got into martial arts, really, I think it found me. Yeah, that was the first, there's a big story to this, by the way, so I don't know where we want to go. I could go on for ages, right? Yeah. But that's where it started. It was a friend of mine who came and offered it in. Yeah, that's where we're at.
Well, it's an amazing start, dude. And I definitely think martial arts found me too. It just took me a long time to realize it. You said you didn't have the confidence. Then you built the confidence. Yeah. To everyone listening, whether they're interested in martial arts or not, do you believe that confidence is a learnable skill that everyone can learn?
100,000,000%. Like, if I carry on this story, you'll understand, like, without a shadow of a doubt, you know, I would go to class and I'd put myself into environments I didn't want to be in. And I was then unconfident as I come out because I thought it was crap. I thought it was rubbish, right? And it got to the point where I remember doing my first tournament. Check this out, right? So now I'm going to go to a tournament. I had no idea what it was.
Were you still doing the same style?
Yeah, same style, just points fighting, but like full contact points fighting, right? So like real fast, dynamic fighting, you know, and it not that tip-tap, not really hitting. But I'm going to this tournament, no idea what's going on. I'm at the edge of the mat, right? And I'm putting my stuff on. And bear in mind, I'm a novice to like fighting. And literally, I remember going up and they stand you up on the mat. And I looks in front of me and I swear it was Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee. I'm telling you, right? This guy was levitating, spinning. I'm thinking I'm a beginner. Like, literally, his arms are like Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? He was unbelievable, right? I remember getting on and I got knocked down 10 times, like 100%, bang! Like, and I remember, and this was the thing, that point, that first time I went to, it felt like when I was being bullied, where I was being kicked. Because when I used to get bullied, one time I was punched against the car, stamped on, like it was just horrible. And I felt that low again. I remember getting up from the mats, feeling totally demoralized, confidence completely shot. I remember throwing my gloves across the fucking ring, like, I ain't fucking doing this again. This is on a Sunday. And then on the Monday, what the tears, why go back in the dojo? And this is what went on for ages. And then on that journey, and here's the important thing. My philosophy was, I'm shit at it because I wasn't very good at martial arts. But here was what I said. My mates were doing it once a week. I said, well, if I do it three times a week, at least I'm going to get at least as good at them at some point. And I just kept doing that. And then over time, I started to get better than them, etc. But I didn't have the confidence. I would literally, for so many, like I'd go to tournaments and I would win one now and again. And here's what happened with my confidence. I'd be going, yeah, but you only won because you ate something good. Or yeah, you had a lucky draw. Or you had a lucky round all the time, right? The devil. So it was never because I was good enough. It was because of something else. And you know what, JP, and for anyone listening here, that was a journey of mine for at least 15 years.
I want to stop you there and just thank you for your honesty, because some people think it's just a magic pill that you take, but overcoming your inner voice can take 15, 20, 30 years. I know.
100%. And I remember, like, I tell you this story, guys. So I'm going in 2012. I've been winning some tournaments, losing some. But what would happen is, and everyone can relate to this sometimes, and again, it's all your own demons. I'd be training really well in the dojo, and I'd go to tournaments and just fall apart. And it's because I put a different frame on it. Even though it's the same thing you're fighting, I put a new frame on it, right? And I'd had this like anchor, like I wasn't good enough, I'm not going to win, etc. And 2012, I went to the British Championships and I won and I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, you must have had a good lucky draw, right? It's still going on, right? And I got selected to go with England to Canada. So I remember you have like a 6-week prep up, 3 times a day training, etc. And I remember this is vivid. This is how bad still my confidence was. And this is an important story that I tell. I'm standing in the tunnel going up to the aeroplane going in Canada and I'm reading a paper. And I remember like putting my paper down, seeing all the England tracksuits, me as well in it. And I pissed myself laughing and I laughed my head off. And the reason I was laughing was going, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, you are never going to win like this at all. Why are you here? Like, what are you doing here? Right. I just find it really funny. Anyway, gets on the plane, gets over to Canada. And I've been told that this was going to be the best championships ever. Some of the fighters were going to be amazing. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ. So anyway, I get to Canada. And I remember goes through the first round. I won my first round. Won the second, I was a bit Canadian, Canadian, German, American. I think it was an Irish lad as well. And I made it to the final, right? And the final was like in a couple of days. I was like, wow, at least I'm going to get a silver medal, right? Yeah. So all this kind of stuff. You had a good lucky day. All this stuff was going on. I remember I had I was lying with the England team in the reception area the night before the final. And as I'm lying there, I'm lying forwards because I'm stretching my hip out because my hip, I used to every night I'd wake up with someone like stabbing me right in my hip. The pain was unbelievable. So I was fighting with this 85-year-old hip, right? Literally, it was completely shot, right? So I'm trying to stretch it out. I'm doing all this. And then I'm walking. I remember this is like life-changing. I remember walking to the elevator. And as I'm walking to the elevator, I'm like, tomorrow's the day. And I was like, if you carry on doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. If you keep talking yourself down, you ain't never going to win it. And your dream is to be a champion. And decided something at that point. I was going to decide to tell a better story. I decided to be kind and I decided to visualize the perfect fight. And I went up the elevators visualizing not just the fight, but the feeling of the fight. And I went to bed, it's really mental. And I went to bed dreaming about how the fight would go, how the final would go, how I would feel. And I woke up in the morning in the greatest sense of calm I've ever had. I woke up so perfect. In the sense of I woke up and I was so calm. And normally I'm quite emotional. And I put all my stuff in my bag. I would have ironed my socks if I'd had an iron there. Everything was going to be ping. I goes down to breakfast. I eat breakfast, made sure I ate just the right amount, went onto the mats, stretching out, feeling good. And this is amazing, right? So when I goes onto the mats for the final, bear in mind I'm 35 years of age. I should be in a veterans, but I'm fighting all the young ones, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I remember looking up, and this is interesting. As I look up in the final, there's a replica of the first fight I ever had. The guy, the young lad, 18 years of age. It wasn't him, but it was a guy like him. He was ripped. He would lever. He was amazing. And I stood there in a sense of calm. And I went through, and there's a couple of rounds in the final. That's how it works. And I get through the first round. And I remember my instructor, he's an absolute legend. He said, look, you're ahead. And I thought, wow, at least I won the first round. But I went into this like state of, I was looking down at myself. So every technique there, so it's like I was watching myself. And I went through the whole final and all of a sudden I'm standing there and they raised my arm and they said, Gordon Bertram, world champion. And I looked at the crowds in front of me and I scream, I cry, I'm elated, and my emotion lets out, and you've got people in the crowd crying, they don't know why I'm crying, I am. And the reason I was so emotional is because it was the day I was born. It was the day the person that you see here was born.
I've heard the story before, I forgot.
It was the day I was born, it was the day I started to love and respect myself again, it was just the day that Gordon Burcham came into this world to, and loved who he was and respected who he was and built that confidence. Now I believe I can. And it was the most amazing day of my life, and the most life to the day that turned my whole life around. And from that point of believing in myself, I went on to win 3 consecutive world titles back to back. I beat everybody. I went and built my businesses that I have now, all built on self-belief. So it's such an amazing, like, journey. Unbelievable.
I just I've got so pumped up by your talk. I almost broke out into an applause over here sitting in my bedroom alone. Oh, man, that was absolutely brilliant and so inspiring. I mean, talk about a story of resilience. And by the way, a lot of what you shared there in that transformation and starting to visualize and talk better, that's like a sports psychology masterclass over there to everyone listening. And I know you mentioned it before, but just to reiterate the point, how important is one's self-talk when it comes to life, confidence, achieving your goals?
The most important story ever told is the one you tell yourself every day.
Wow.
What we say to ourselves is of the most importance. The world, we live with ourselves 24 hours a day. We talk to ourselves 24 hours a day. Many people, they tell the story of a nightmare. We need to tell a love story. We need to tell a story of love and compassion. We need to, of respect and own who you are, to celebrate who you are every day, not who you think you should be, because you're perfect as you are. And it's so important. Like, the story we tell ourselves every day is as important as oxygen. Many people die in this world through negative self-talk because they've not learned that they are, number one, in control of that if they choose to be, and they start to change the narrative. You know, it's so important to be the great author of your life, right? You absolutely are the person, you are the creator. And it starts from internal dialogue. It starts from internal peace. And it starts with everything you say yourself internally, externally. Be kinder.
I'm so glad I asked that question. That was a beautiful, powerful answer. And some people came just for that. Some people came just for that. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, sir. Thank you.
Do you think it's possible to let's move away from martial arts just for a sec and towards like business and what people think of general success is in life? Do you think it is possible, in your opinion, to live your best life if you lack self-respect and you don't respect yourself?
No. The greatest success is self-respect.
I love it.
You know, it's like, We are self-love is where it's at. Like, you have to love yourself more than anything else. And the reason for that is if you pour it into yourself, you can pour it into the world, right? You can't, you have to fill your cup every day with love so you can pour it onto the world. And if you're not happy, the energy will spill out onto everybody else. And, you know, we have to own who we are. And we've got to own it with love. And I think that, you know, there's many people trying to become something and get something and have, but they are the most probably depressed people there is. They may be multi-100 million pound, but it doesn't really matter, but they're not happy. You know, happiness is love, and happiness is self-love, because now you can, you are filled up. You have energy, you have soul. And you're not trying to get, everything else is a bonus. I believe that if you're in love, if you love who you are unconditionally, like you would a child, you're going to be happier than you can ever imagine, no matter what.
So true. I've got a friend that recently came to me and was like, oh, JP, I'm trying to figure this out. I don't know what to do. And I said, look, respectfully, there's no more doing for you. Like, you've tried almost everything. You just need to fall in love with yourself. And I said, I know that's not what you came to me for as a coach or a friend that's a coach, but you don't love yourself. Fall in love with yourself and everything will change.
Love creates connection. Connection creates courage, and courage creates confidence. And that's what you've got to work on. That's the thing. And it all starts with love. Once you start with that, it's the most powerful energy in the world. But it has to start with you. You can't love others if you don't love yourself. You can't do that. You can, but then you've got nothing left, which is why you must pour it into yourself first every day.
For those who are listening on audio, I've probably taken 3 or 4 big sighs with my whole body. And just release, because this is just so amazing what you're sharing. Thank you so much, brother. How do people start on a journey to self-love? If they don't have access to martial arts, they don't know what to do, but something in what you just said has made them feel, shit, maybe I don't love myself.
Yeah. I think it's really important. So a great thing to do to start with is to pour it out on paper. Like, so get from your mind and write down everything that's fucking phenomenal about you. Like everything that is amazing about you. Like write that shit down. It's interesting. I do this with many people actually. They're normally the other way around. They'll have everything that's shit about them and a little bit about what's great about them. Forget that. Forget the negative. You've done that for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Focus on what's fucking beautiful about you. Write it down, and write it down with emotion and look. Like, just write it down as if it's about somebody else. Right? Write it down. Pour out. Think about how amazing you are, what you've done, who you are, what you stand for, your faith, your values, and who you are and what you bring to the world. And that's what it's all about, is to recognize it. And we don't recognize, we are all so fucking incredible. It's unfucking believable how great we are. And remember this, is the most important. Your uniqueness is your gift. Your uniqueness is your gift. That's the one of the greatest lessons I've ever had, is I used to think my uniqueness was a problem. I'm autistic. So it means that I'm not putting a label on, I just have autistic traits that we all do, right? But the problem was, I'm quirky, I'm different. That's my gift. And until I celebrated that, I used to want to be somebody else. So I'd spend my whole life working to be someone I wasn't, you know, and then I wasn't happy. But when you can own who you are, I love who I am. One of the greatest things you can do for self-love is fucking love everything about yourself, your quirkiness. Now, I love it that I fucking leave the bath water and it nearly fucking flood the house. I love it that I lose my keys every day. I can't find my fucking phone. I love that fucking human being, the one that I hated for so long. You've got to love that person, because it's who you are. You are that person right there. Your uniqueness is your gift. So important. Well,
I absolutely love that version of you. Over the last few years, you've really stepped into your uniqueness. And I just want to ask a question around that. How does it feel? Like, if you really sit back and take a moment and look back at the last few years, how does it feel to really accept, own, and love and cherish every part of you, and bring all of you to the world?
I feel alive. I feel alive, and I feel a purpose. And like, when you're being everything that you are, you can shine a lot on the world. Like, I really believe that is what we are. So like, I feel that over the years, trying to be someone I'm not, because to fit in, trying so hard to fit in, you're born to stand out, all of that stuff, right? And that's what most people are doing. But when you are you, unapologetically you, you are free. You are so free.
Mic drop. When you are unapologetically you, you are free. One of my friends and I discuss happiness and success all the time, and he's got massive success, more than most people I've ever met in my life. And he says, because he spends a lot of time with very successful people, he says, JP, I hang around him because he's happy. And he's looking at other people in his life. He says, JP, I don't think you are successful until you are happy. Regardless of the money that you have, happiness has become a part of my culture, as in work culture, people around me. If you're not happy, get out. And for my team, I have a small team. But I say to them all the time, if you are not happy, you have to tell me, because I mean this sincerely. I'm not just saying some wishy-washy, fluffy statement. I don't want you here if you are not happy. You have an amazing team. You do amazing work coaching so many students and businesses. What role does happiness play in the workplace for you?
It's number one. It's the ultimate. You know, happiness is the currency of life. Like, it's like the energy. Like, when you are happy, it's as important as happiness is oxygen. Like, when you look around you, and I teach this all the time to my team, like, we are bouncing around all the time. It's like, you know, if there's a challenge, we laugh. Like, it's like everything we do, we laugh at. It's just so fucking funny.
I love
like every challenge, we just piss ourselves because it's just fucking funny, right? It's just hilarious when you think about it. It's hilarious. And we teach ourselves, we have two choices in life. We can take a challenge or a problem, and we can decide and choose, because choice is our, you know, one of our greatest powers. And we can choose to be frustrated and angry, or we can choose to just laugh. And if you laugh through the challenges, you're going to enjoy the process. Because here's the thing, and this is why I teach my team all the time. Unless you, like, challenge is part of life. It's part of your gift. It's a gift for life, for you to learn, grow, and evolve. If you are never going to be happy with the thing and the problem, I think Tony Robbins says, don't they? The problem with people is they feel they shouldn't have any. Like, you know, the problems that we have are the greatest gifts of life. The challenge people have is whenever the problem, they feel negative and they've not learned to put a new frame on it. They put a horrible frame. And the problem is that frame is very much frustration, anger, etc. But the reality is, if you can laugh through your challenges, you're going to be happier in everything else in your life, because the reality is life is challenge, and it's because challenge is the gift. So if you are being stretched to grow and evolve, you better be excited about that. You better laugh. And so we have this mantra, right? Every point we go, it's amazing. That's amazing. Amazing. So like, what we say.
I might have to steal that. That is awesome.
Literally, every just go, we'll go, amazing. That's it. Amazing.
Getting a car crash. It's amazing. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing, isn't it? Like, it's amazing. And it's just a new frame. So, and the reason being is, like, if we're not smiling, we're not living. And, you know, you've got to remember, we've got to put that smile on our faces. If you're not smiling, you are not living. Life, you know, life is the greatest adventure. And when we go on adventures, it's supposed to be fun and exciting. And when you're building businesses, it's an adventure. And that's the frame we put on it. We're going on an adventure. Like, and now all of a sudden you say, yeah, we're going to go and build this. Yeah, we're going on an adventure. Like, every day's an adventure, right? Now it's fun. Now it's exciting. Where are we going? We don't fucking know, but we're going to laugh our tits off no matter what. And that's the philosophy that we have here for sure.
Powerful. Helen Keller has a quote that I love. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all. Why would you go through an adventure in a miserable mood? You wouldn't. So ask yourself how you can make your life an adventure.
And the greatest thing here, guys, is you have the power. Sounds really like corny, right? But you are your power. You are the creator. You are, I'm sure JP speaks about this a lot, like, you've got to own it. Like, and you've got to own everything. And I think true freedom and true happiness comes when you realize and accept full responsibility for everything in your life. When you absolutely own it all and realize that it's on me, now you have power. I think the world is full of finger pointers. And I'm sorry if this will hurt some of you, but I spoke about this yesterday at a training. You know, the challenge is most people love being a victim. And the problem with victim, when you're victim status, the world celebrates the victim. And here's the thing, because do you want to be a victim or a victor? You know, if you want to win in life, man, you need to remove the victim like thought process and, oh, it's not my fault, this, and pointing the finger and own it and say, you know what? If it's to be, it's up to me. If I want to be happy, it's down to me. If I want to live life happy, which is my complete mantra, the book I wrote was Live Life Happy. It was all about complete fucking ownership of self and complete ownership of your day. And remembering that every second of every day is the greatest gift that we have. And it's more precious than anything else, because it's the, you, You can spend time every day, and if you don't spend it wisely, it'll be eroded for like forever. And that's what it's all about, is how you spend your time is more important than anything. So spend it happy, spend it with passion, spend it with love, you know, because one day it'll all be gone.
I love listening to you, man. What do you have to say to those people that say, you don't need to be happy to be successful?
Your wish is my command.
Like, great answer.
Genie of your life. Like, and it comes back to the story. Mm. You don't have to be happy. Well, that would be your choice. Absolutely. Don't be happy. No one can force you to be anything, but remember, you really are the fucking genie. There's a book that people read. And there's a saying in it that says, searching, you will find. And here's the thing. And it depends on how you take that passage of the Bible or whatever people call it. Mm. I like to frame that. If people say we're searching, you will find, they mention God, etc. Mine is, what you search for, you will find. The question is, what are you searching for? Are you searching for happiness? Are you searching for love? Or are you searching for the problem? Yeah. And most people are searching for the problem, not the solution. They're searching for what's negative, not what's positive. It's all around us, my friends. It's all about the great, the balance of life, love and hate, good and bad, sunshine and darkness. Balance is where we're at. And here's the thing you've got to look for. What are you searching for? Most people are unbalanced in a negative way of self, how they look at themselves. They're not looking at the positive side either. And love surrounds you all. Happiness surrounds you all. But are you searching for it? Is it a choice? And I think I heard it once, like, you know, we are the only animal on the planet has ability to choose. So choose wisely. Yep. Choose wisely. It's important.
Choose wisely. And that's the only thing we have power of, is choice. Can't control the government. We know that.
That's nothing. But you can choose how you deal with it. And so the answer to them, people who say you don't need happiness, your wish is my command. Like, you just got to remember that that's fine. But if you want to be happier, if you want to live a life that is so much more than you can imagine, it always starts with how you see the reflection every day. How do you see that reflection? Do you see the reflection of love, or do you see the reflection of hate? Who do you see in that reflection? Look in the mirror. Great tip for you all, by the way. Whenever you get up every morning, look in that mirror and look at it with absolute love, like you would a child. Like, literally, emotionally.
This is such a powerful exercise that years ago I used to do this with my clients. And even flying around the world, I would meet them in a hotel suite. They'd come there and I'd, you know, put them in the suite, not the room. And I'd be like, come, let's go to the toilet. I want you to look in the mirror and I want you to say something to yourself. Most of the time, they just look back at me and chuckle. I'm like, don't look at me, look at you. And they cannot even look themselves in the mirror and say, I love you. It sounds cheesy, but, or corny, like you said, or I think you said corny, but it's crazy powerful. On that, that's a daily practice that you encourage people to do, and I do too. You're clearly a student of, whether you call it karma, merit, law of attraction, energy work. What you put out is what you get back. Mm. What are some daily practices that you can share to make sure that you are attracting in the solutions into your life and not the problems?
Yeah, I love that. You know, it's really important. Like, I think how you start the day is most important. But actually, it's how you end your day as well. Like, I'm a big believer that every single day that we live is absolutely unique. And here's what I love to do. I get so fucking excited about going to sleep. You wouldn't believe. It's so fucking, I get so excited. And there's a reason for that. Is I heard it years ago. It's the power of sleep, the power of another day. So no matter what happens today, tomorrow, through choice, is going to be a brand new day. And here's what I learned is, like, I go to sleep so excited, no matter how tough a day has been, because we all have tough days, right? So excited knowing that I get to start again. And I get to start afresh in a new, with a new beginning. And I make a decision that night, no matter what happened that day, I'm not taking it into tomorrow. happiness is. So people take the problems from yesterday and today. Have you seen the film Groundhog Day? It's they like Bill Murray out of Groundhog Day, right? They just take yesterday into today, into tomorrow, and they just take it like a big elephant in their back. The trick of life, right, every day is unique. So first of all, is how you go to sleep the night before with excitement. And I love doing this, right? And throw it all away and go, come on. It's like waiting for Santa or whatever your thing is, right? So excited. Then you wake up, your intention is it's going to be a phenomenal day. And then I wake up every morning. And as I open my eyes, I look out the window. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful that I'm here again, that my heart is beating, that my lungs are filling up, that there's no wood either side of my elbows, that the trees are flowing, that the sun is shining or the rain is beating. I'm so thankful that I made it again. I'm so thankful for the love that surrounds me. I'm so thankful that I'm here, that I get another chance to make a big impression, to make a difference in this world. And I always start with that and go for a walk, or I used to go for a walk because my backbone going back from my runs. And I'd run sometimes with my arms out most of the time, run up the street with your arms out and take in the world with absolute thanks. And remember that as long as I'm breathing and my heart is beating, it's going to be a fucking phenomenal day. Like whatever happens, it's going to be an amazing day. And then I make a pact with myself. So first of all, I work with gratitude and love for being here, my family and everything else. And secondly, it's who can I help today? Like it has to start. My soul is about serving. And I know yours is as well, JP. That's why I love you, right? It's like every day, like I just come from a place of service, whether it's going into a shop and lighting up their day to make them feel better. It doesn't matter where every person, the intention is, can I help them smile more than they were before? And that's what it's all about. And that's what it's that's what I believe and helps me on my purpose and mission and know what my purpose and mission is. And it's to help people smile more, help people laugh more. And if I'm doing that, I know that I'm serving the world and I'm serving myself. So yeah, that's what I do.
I want my entire team, family, friendship circle, community, connections to listen to this conversation because it will help so many people. And gratitude, I said a few years ago, gratitude above everything else that I've ever taught in my life is the most powerful tool for living an amazing, full life, wealthy life. Without 100%. Needing to be attached to anything on the outside.
I agree. And the amount of times in a day I say thank you is it must be at least 50 times a day, at least. Thank you, whether it's to my team, to a member, that anything, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That word is so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's pure gratitude. We're so blessed to live the life we live. We're so blessed to be here.
We are, and I don't think you can say it enough, really.
When my dad passed away,
I don't think you can say thank you enough. Yeah,
my dad passed away in 2019, and he gave me a gift that it transcended through his passing. It was horrible to see him on you know, he had myotonic dystrophy. And he lived the last 3 years of his life through eating through a peg in his belly. And he had a muscle wasting disease that was very unique. And my mom phoned me and said he fell down, totally so humble. And he'd fell down the stairs and broke his neck. And trying to get up there on his own, he wouldn't say anything. And I've rushed back from Devon and I seen him there and he cracked his neck here and broke his neck here. And I spoke to him and he's there and he had this real funny energy. You all right, Pops? I'm okay. He couldn't look at me. Like, anyway, I spoke to the doctors and stuff. They said they think he can go out tomorrow and he should be fine, blah, blah, blah. So I said, Pops, I'm going to go home and I'm going to come and see you tomorrow. Give him a kiss. You know, 2 hours later, I picked up the phone and my mom's screaming down the phone that he passed away. That was the most horrendous day of my life today. And I went to go see my dad And as I walked in, he's lying there. And I had this overwhelming sense of regret. Like you wouldn't believe the regret, the tears in my soul. And I it was so horrible. But when I left there and I went home and I was computing, I was emotional, I was sleeping, I was waking up I was crying through my sleep. But I asked myself the question, what can I learn from this? And I flew to France to write a book called Live Life Happy, in his name. And I know in my heart, his message to me was, son, don't live life with regret. And I wrote the book Live Life Happy based on that. Because my dad, I know, would have wished he'd have done more than he did. There was things he would have loved to experience in his life that he couldn't. And that was the message he was giving me, that we only have so much time on this planet and we might as well live it happy. Mm. So remember, time is not infinite. Time has a deadline, your time. And it's time, you know, and my dad taught me that. And every single day, every day, the intention is I'm going to live life happier than I did yesterday. And if you can do that in your life, if you can literally live with love, live with passion, and live with happiness, you are going to have the most amazing time. And you're not going to leave this world with regret. And it's so important to us all that we have this time and we waste it. Don't waste your time. Don't wait to be great. Yeah, it's really, really important. And if you can, as a person, if you can take this and teach and listen to JP and listen to his love and his passion, and you can start to not just listen, you can apply it every day into your soul, you will live life happy and you will live a life that most people never experience. And the only time they realize is when it's their time to go. Don't live life with regret.
Extremely powerful story. Thank you, Gordon. One of the greatest gifts in my life was being hit by that car, because it made me realize that I'm going to die. And realizing that my time is going to run out, it woke me, excuse my language, everyone, the fuck up to the question, how am I living? And a lot had to change. Something I'm sure you're extremely grateful for. One, I'm sure you are. Two, I know you are, is your family and your school of students, all working on themselves, going on their own hero's journey, just like you have done multiple times in your life. How does it feel to now be in a place where you're able to give back, to serve those that were where you once were, just needing some guidance, to be able to facilitate that guidance for students and for teachers and owners of martial arts businesses, to have gone through the journey that you've gone through, become the man, like not even a human, the man that you are. How does it feel to give that back?
It is the greatest gift. For sure, it feels like such a purpose. It feels like I can't even describe the love I have for helping others, being able to help others. I feel so grateful to be able to pass it on. I feel so blessed every single day to be able to help a human being. It's a purpose and a mission until I die. Like, absolutely, to be able to help millions and millions of people, that's my mission. In fact, it's interesting, JP, and you talk about G-Force. That's why I opened my franchise company. Is we 413 franchises in the UK. We've locked and loaded. That's what we're going for. Incredible. And then we have a mission to have a G-Force martial arts in every country in the world. And the reason for that is, it's all at our martial arts school is all about developing champions for life, developing that inner champion. And it's about personal growth, because that's what martial arts is. So to be able, and that's why I set the franchise up. It's really interesting. I couldn't connect with it. To give you an example, guys, I was...
What do you mean you couldn't connect with it?
I'll explain it. So you're going to love this, JP, because, well, you might do. I thought about franchising many times at GeForce, but I couldn't connect with it. I was like, well, it's just about making money.
Gotcha.
And then I was around a very powerful mastermind, very, very powerful mastermind. And I was emotional in that mastermind. And it was around my mission. And my mission is always and will always be, how can I help people smile more? How can I make a difference in their lives? How can I empower people to own who they are, etc.? And I remember then connecting the dots. The franchise allows me to teach through and reach millions of people around the world through martial arts, which allows people to smile more, because martial arts ultimately is a happiness business. It creates happiness. It creates love, connection. It is so powerful, because when you develop yourself with martial arts, personal development, you smile more. When you're outside in the challenges of life, the darknesses that people have, they come to martial arts for solitude. They come here for to smile more, to live more, to be energized and be passionate. That's why JP goes, because of what it gives him. It helps him smile. It helps him be centered. And I realized that it was a disservice to the world for me not to spread the message of GeForce around the world through our franchise company. And that then I realized I can help more people. And that's why we developed.
That was a mega shift for you that I really resonate with, you know, going, oh, I don't want to do this because it's about the money. And then actually aligning it to your highest values, all of a sudden, motivation not required.
Now it's like mission driven, like how, and every time someone joins, another life is being changed. Like, so powerful. So we have a scoreboard. We've got the scoreboard, and every time we put one down, someone joins in one of our franchise. Every day, you can imagine, there's another life going to be changed. There's another life going to be changed. There's another life. There's more people smiling, more people happy. That's the mission. That's what it's about.
I love that you're about that, just changing lives. You say smile a lot. Do you have an acronym for the word smile?
No, I don't actually.
I'm surprised that you don't.
I do have for changes though. I want to share this. Yeah.
Yes, please.
Change.
And by the way, I think you should do one for smile, because a lot of professionals think, oh, stop it with your smiling nonsense. But when you can break it down, they'll be like, oh my God, that's it.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to do that. Thank you for that.
Changes.
Yeah. It's to remember every single day that work your changes mind. You want to create changes? You create changes. Number one, you've got to remember, and we talked about it already, your power is choice. Choose to be happy. Choose to have a phenomenal day. It starts with choice, the ability to choose. Remember to own that. The second one is happiness. Happiness. Do what makes you happy and you will be happy. It's so simple. Do what makes you happy. The world is full of people who are moaning about where they're at, but they're choosing to be in a job they fucking hate or the relationship they don't love. Happiness is a creation of what you do and the actions you take every single day. It's really important. And the important message here is this: of all of that, though, be happy with what you've got while in pursuit of your other dreams and your other desires. So happiness. The A is for affection, the affection for others, for the world, the people around you, the love that you spills out from your soul. Live with love. And more importantly, love thyself. Love who you are. Absolutely every morning. So that affection is really, really important. The N is for never, ever judge. Never judge the people around you. Step into their model of the world with respect and love. Respect who they are. Respect those around you, because we are all doing the best we can. Remove judgment. Imagine what would happen if we never judged a human being and we respected who they were for their faiths and their values, etc. And never judge yourself. Never judge who you are. Be your greatest fan, not your worst enemy. You know, we are world champions at knocking ourselves down. Be world champions at building yourself up and be your greatest supporter. So never judge. The G is for gratitude, as we said, to be grateful for what you have, to be grateful for those around you, to remember that you're living a life you once dreamt of. You're living a life that many dream of. Be grateful for what you have while in pursuit of the other things in your life. The E is for the fucking energy you have in your soul. And explode. Like, your energy is your drug. I haven't drank for 11, 12 years. I used to do drink, drugs, all that kind of thing. My drug is life. My drug is the energy that's surround, and it's a creation. You know, do you have low points? Yeah, but man, the greatest energy you have is your endorphins, is your stuff, is when you can get in the air and shake your ass, man. You can stay in a couch feeling shit, or you can jump in the air and you can get your body moving, create that energy. You are the creator of that energy. If you live with energy and vitality, right, you're going to be happy. And finally, the S in changes, very simple, self-improvement. How can I be better today than I was yesterday? What am I listening to? Listen to JP, read the books. Yeah, absorb yourself spiritually, mentally, and emotionally to develop, to be the best version of yourself so you can pour it onto the world. And that's what changes is all about. And every day you apply that and you can become anything and everything that you ever desire.
Amazing. Amazing. Drop the mic. What a great acronym. I hope everyone's taking notes or pressing stop to be able to write that down, because it's an incredibly powerful recipe for an extraordinary life. You touched on self-improvement at the end. Mm-hmm. For me, martial arts has never, ever been, I know it's not the case for everyone else, but it's never one time been for me about facing an opponent. It's always been around facing myself. Mm-hmm. How do you help kids or students understand, if you do, that actually martial arts isn't necessarily about the opponent? It's about overcoming your fears, facing mm-hmm. challenges, having courage, leveraging the community, to do what I just mentioned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot. Life is martial arts and martial arts is life.
Love it.
It's parallel universe. Like, martial arts is the, it is, you do the martial arts. Like, you've got to evade, you've got to slip, you've got to move, you've got to find a solution. Life will throw things at you. Yeah, you've got to move, duck, weave, bob, whatever that is for you. Yeah, you've got to block, you've got to counter. You've got to realize you're going to get knocked down, you get back up. It's all the same thing. Martial arts and life are parallel. It's a parallel universe. And all you have to do is remember, every time that you are challenged, every time you are in fear and you face your fear, you grow more. And that's what martial arts is about. How do you, people have many fears. You know, we all know the thing, you know, the saying, feel the fear and do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Martial arts teaches you that. You know, we teach children, if you're scared of getting hit, get hit. because you're going to learn how, number one is you're going to learn that it's not as bad as you thought, which was what happened to me. And also you're going to learn how not to get hit, you know. And we've got to learn as human beings. The only way I learned to, with a bully, for instance, the bully only disappears when you stand up to it, when you step up to it. And it's the same in life. Your fears are false. As we all know, the acronym, false evidence appearing real. They're an illusion. And martial arts allows you and teaches you to step into them fears, to realize your true potential, to build that inner strength and that resilience and that spiritual energy that we all have, to nurture that, to be able to tackle life and to not just tackle it, but to experience it in its fullest and become the best version of yourself. And that's what martial arts does. It's very powerful. And in everything in life, you can relate to martial arts. Literally everything, it all relatable. Everything is relatable to martial arts. And that's why it's such an important thing for anyone to do. Everyone should do martial arts, you know. And you notice I said, they shouldn't try martial arts. They should do it. Martial arts.
Very, very. I actually wrote down some words because I was really connecting to what you were saying. And I was like, actually, I can use these words more in my life, like ducking and weaving and slipping, and because it's really relevant. And it's a good, it's kind of good metaphor for life, you know, moving through competition and moving through facing yourself and keeping your balance, etc. Really beautiful share.
Yeah.
Gordon, I could speak to you for hours. Thank you so much, dude. I just want to ask you two more questions, or two more, but the first one is a two-part question. One, what would the 5, 6, or 7-year-old version of you be happy about seeing you today? And then two, second part of the first question, what would they be sad about?
They say, I am proud of you. And the second thing to be said about is, why didn't you listen to me?
Oh my God, that's hilarious. If only we would listen to our younger selves. Oh my God, what a different world this would be.
Unbelievable, right?
Amazing. Final question. This is a term that is at the center of our business. So I always like to ask this question. What do the words spiritual fitness mean for you?
Constant and never-ending improvement of self.
Beautiful. Brother, thank you so much. Gordon Bertram, everyone. Thank you. I really appreciate it. One of my favorite conversations of this year, for sure. Thank you again.
Thanks for having me, buddy. Appreciate it.